Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report and another broad discussion on the markets. We're also going to get into some of the metals and commodities broadly as I am chatting with Joel Elkonen. He is the co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. Now, Joel, I just want to get a quick comment from you. We have the S&P down right around 2% today. The Dow is down over 1.5%. NASDAQ leading the way lower is down over 2.5%. It is, again, another story of tech leading these markets. However, over the last three trading days, it's tech finally leading these markets lower. Look, I just chatted with Ed Moya, and he mentioned that we're still not even at some 50-day moving averages. There are still a lot of support regions below where these current markets are, but we are starting to see some fear creep into investors' heads. What are your broad comments, your thoughts on this continued pullback?
Good afternoon, Corey. Thanks for having me. Overdue, like well overdue. I mean, you know, the market coming back from the March lows, okay, making a new all-time high, but, you know, okay, with unemployment at the rate, you know, that it's at, but blasting off like it did and exceeding that all-time high by nearly 200 points, I mean, I think that was a little bit excessive. Tech led us up. It's leading us down. So I construe this as, you know, a healthy correction for the market. You also had the three-day weekend where things tend to happen. You had the SoftBank supposedly meltdown here, unwinding a big hedge bet by the co-founder's son in options. So just a confluence of a lot of things, your three-day weekend, your tech being a little bit frothy, is ended up in the decline that we've had at the end of last week and continuing in today's session.
So, Joel, is this, again, going to be broadly looked at as a buy-the-dip opportunity? Because a few of the factors that make a buy-the-dip actually possible are easy money, cheap money, and the fact that there's nowhere else to put your money. Do you think that this is still valid?
I mean, I think it's hard to say that after, you know, two or three days of price action that the bears are in control of this market. Maybe fundamentally they are, but technically the bulls are still in control. You have the old undercut and rally here, and I'm just going to use the S&P futures. I'm also going to give some general guidelines for your traders and investors. Friday's low in the S&P 500 futures contract, 47.75. Now, they did inflict a little bit more damage. They went to 37.75 today, which is not, I mean, in a whole grand scheme of things, it's not that much. Now you're kind of having like an undercut and rally, where all the people leaning on that low from Friday, they're stopped out, they're looking their wounds, they're taking, you know, they're looking bearish. And you're turning around. So I would keep an eye, if the individual issues that you're trading, I would keep an eye on the lows for Friday. Apple got nowhere near its low. I was hoping to pick it up at 110, 111. No can do. That stopped at 113.25. So keep an eye on Friday's lows. And of course, Friday's close. It seems like it's a long ways away now, but those would be good indications. So right now, I mean, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater after, you know, three bad days in the market.
Absolutely. As much as people want to get negative and bearish on these markets, fact of the matter is that bearish bet has been very, very hard to make money on. Let's talk about a couple individual stocks, some of which you and I touch on a fairly regular basis, but some of these stocks are showing that you can come out with news, even though we might not think that it's all that great in news, and it can move the stock higher. Let's start with GM and the investing in Nikola Motors. So this is the electric truck or vehicle maker. It's a new stock. To me, this seems like it's an interesting investment. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but it is moving GM stock higher. So what are your thoughts on this reaction?
10% up, Corey. You got to put this into perspective here. First of all, this is how much GM moves in a month, 2 months, you know, a year. So that's up 10%, $32.95, trading at the highs of the session. Could this be the catalyst we've all been waiting for General Motors or Government Motors, as I like to refer to it? They announced a strategic partnership with Nikola. And the Nikola's Badger will be engineered and manufactured by GM. That's good news, right? They have these idle plants. They're going to be putting them to work. It's good for Nikola. And it's just a very interesting move. It's dragging Ford along with it for the ride a little bit. But, geez, just a monumental move here for GM. And I wish I would have held the calls that I had for last week. But that's what you're looking at here. And Nikola's trading in the green, too, here by 40%. It was higher in the pre-market session. So today's an important day for GM. I think tomorrow's an important day, too. Can it hold on to these gains? And finally, is this what Mr. Buffett was looking for? Buffett's been heavily invested in GM for a long time. It's gone absolutely nowhere. Will this be the catalyst to send it higher, much higher? I mean, I'm talking a lot higher. This stock hit all-time high has been 45. The majority of this time since the stock re-IPO'd has been between 30 and 40 and 30 and 40 and then a little bit under 30 and a little bit over 40. But we'll see. We'll see if this is for the Motor City. Let's see if we can jumpstart General Motors.
How much do you think that some of the money that is flowing into GM is also money that maybe has been made in Tesla? Also considering that Tesla has also dropped almost 30% in the last about 5 to 6 trading days.
Well, you had to split that ridiculous pre-split run-up. It's 80% of stocks go down after their split. That fooled investors. It went up to $500. It had that little rally. They did do an offering, a $5 billion offering. So that knocked the bloom off the flower a little bit. And then there was the hype trade, S&P 500. They're going to be added. And everyone's in anticipation of that or waiting to short into that rip. But you know what? S&P said, we're going to do what we want to do. And they announced adding some other companies on Friday. Tesla was not included. So that's hitting it today. You got a lot of novice investors in the issue. And, we are well down, well below that pre-split closing price is something I'm going to keep an eye on. Apple, same thing. That's a little bit closer. But it's just a crowded trade, Corey. It just got really crowded. And now it's shifting out of the weak hands, potentially into the straw hands. Whether or not this is like the all-time high in Tesla, full disclosure, I do own some Tesla in my portfolio. 5 times as much as I want to own after the split. I should have trimmed then, but trying to hold on to it is a long-term investment.
Okay. One other stock that I do want to talk about is Peloton, because they just announced that they are coming out with a new cheaper bike, obviously to appeal to everyone who is still stuck at home and quite frankly open up the market to themselves a bit more. But one thing to consider too is Peloton, from its March lows when it reached $17.70, it's up over 400%, closing in on that $100 level. Crazy move from Peloton and continuing to push higher today. What are your thoughts on Peloton's news and really taking into the big picture here just how strong this stock has been?
This is a real head scratcher for me. Full disclosure, I am long shit. Not only do I own a Peloton in a goofy looking shoes, I'm also long the stock. And my wife and I bought a Peloton in December, believe it or not. And we were looking for an alternative. My wife can't get up and hit the pool like 6 a.m. in the morning like I can because of her profession. And she just wanted an extra, exercise vehicle. So we got rid of our 30-year-old bike and treadmill. We bought it. It's a great workout. It's fun. I'm just scratching my head here. I wanted to sell it last week when it got up near $90. It has earnings on the 10th, which is interesting. They make this announcement today. It's a momentum stock, and it certainly got the momentum going today. Up 10% in this kind of market. Are you kidding me? Not exactly looking forward to getting back on my Peloton. Been a little bit cool here in Michigan, and a little fall creeping in. But great form of exercise, making it more affordable. It's a good catalyst. Earnings should be good. I don't know. I just don't know when to get rid of this one. But that's the news on Peloton.
don't you feel like that is a lot of investors, a lot of traders' mentalities right now, is that these stocks have gone up and fine, some might be showing weakness like Tesla, but others continue to lead higher even as we see broad averages sell off. It makes it hard to take some money off the table because the question is, where do you go with that money?
Yeah, what do? Do you put it under your... I mean, it all depends on your investment horizon, right? What do you know? Do you need the money? Are you passing it on to your children, which, you know, I plan to do with, you know, majority of my holdings. So it's tough, you know, and buy the dip has worked. You're coming into an election, right? I just don't know. I don't want to be political or make any political statements, but I'm not exactly thrilled with either candidate. There's a lot of civil unrest in our country, something we've never seen before. Unemployment, I mean, for the market to go from the March lows to the highs that we had just a little over a week ago with unemployment so much higher, it doesn't make any sense. But if you continue, if you invest by what makes sense, then you're going to miss out on some big, some big returns, and that's what the market's shown. So the election could throw a monkey wrench into everything.
Oh, I think it will. That's the one guarantee.
Thanks, Corey.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm not looking forward to it, but boy, oh, boy, it is here with a vengeance.
Oh, Canada.
No, hey, man, I don't want to get political, but we're not.
Full disclosure, my mom's half Canadian, so I don't know if that will get me in over there. But anyways, how I digress.
Maybe, yeah, you can come stay with me there, Joel. Let's talk a little commodities here, because oil and copper both moving down. Oil is finally starting to pick up some steam to the downside, as it is down almost $3 today. Well, now below that, about $42, $43 that it was holding at, right around $36, $37. What do you think about the pullback in both oil and copper?
Oh, man, I'm just so disappointed. I watched this oil at 43, 43, 43, 42, 60, 43, 10, 40. And it just wouldn't bust out. And I'm like, what is going on here? This thing has got to move, right? Well, it moved. It moved lower. So that's putting pressure. I mean, now that the, you know, ExxonMobil and CVX, they're not as big, you know, components of the index. They still are, you know, part of the S&P 500, part of the economy. I think that that's accelerating. The decline today is the sell-off in oil. So it just, you know, it's just a confluence of factors there that are, you know, working against the market, the tech wreck, the oil. So as far as that's concerned, I don't know where to pick a bottom here in oil. I think I'd be more inclined to try and pick a top if you rallied in this thing. I'd have to do some technical work. Gold is kind of befuddling me right now. I'm still long the GDX and the GLD. Boy, I missed a great opportunity when it got, you know, busted out over 2,000. I like to keep it for diversification, you know, purposes. But it's finding support. That's all I can say about the gold contract. They're trying to bust it. The that 1870 low was just a fake low to me because they did it in the overnight session. But boy, oh boy, you know, you thought 1920 was going to hold, right? Goes to 1911.70 today, and then they zip it and turn it around, trading up, $10 here at the 1944 area. So hold the 1900, I guess. You got to give yourself some room on this and then finally reclaim. We did stick our head over 2000 a couple times. But it has not been able to hold. So that's the next major hurdle for the gold market. Copper's copper, right? Copper is an industrial metal. And I don't know if we're having a, you know, if the economy is going to be picking up that much to substantiate the move. Correction. And that's what you have here in copper. Lower price, I mean, really on the monthly, this one's really hanging in there pretty good. This got up near 310. You're still at $3 on copper. I know that's a big move on a percentage basis and a tick basis. But just like the market, you know, things can't go straight up without corrections. And whether the correction turns into more than that, a change in trend, that remains to be seen.
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks right now in terms of full-on or longer-term change of trends or just these short-term corrections whittling away a little bit of these extreme overbought scenarios on a wide range of markets, but just goes to show how much money is in these markets. Joel, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time, buddy. I will post a link to that Benzinga website where everyone can listen to your pre-market prep show. Have a great rest of your week there, Joel.
Okay, thank you, Corey.